Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
I'm here. I made it. I have my lozenges.
I was like, you are not dying, which is pretty freaking awesome.
Not currently.
As far as we know, knock on wood.
Yes. Oh, Jesus. I shouldn't even say that. I mean, oh, gosh. I shouldn't say things like that. It's not even cold medicine. Oh. It's just me being tired and like one day away vacation brain. I'm going on vacation finally.
Yay. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Ryan actually works for Canada Parks. So, Parks Canada. Parks Canada.
They're in Canada.
Yeah. So he has had a very, very busy summer. So vacation.
It's been so weirdly busy. And I mean, if you follow me over at twitter.com/rmurphy, I sometimes post some work stuff. And we've been doing some interesting things where it sort of leaks through. Getting to play with some new cool technologies like 360 cameras and experimenting with VR and all that fun stuff. But it's exciting. But also it's been a tiring summer. And I'm happy to be able to take a week off. We're going to PEI. So if anyone has anything they want that we can do in PEI, that'd be great because I've planned nothing.
That's how we did Montreal too.
Okay, good.
When we were in Montreal for DreamHack, it was basically like, we're like, okay, we need a vacation. I was like, I can take like 2 or 3 days tacked on to the end of DreamHack, and that's just going to be my vacation.
Sure.
So like, what are we going to do? And then we had it. No, any plans at all. Mm. And I was like, the second last day we were there, we found this really great restaurant, this little pub thing, and that's where we ate, and it was amazing food. And I was sitting there, and I was like, my grandfather was still alive, he'd be like just having a brain aneurysm right now, because he was one of those people that like had a minute by minute itinerary of things. Oh. And so the idea of just like going away on vacation, having no idea what you were going to do, was that just would have like ended him.
Yeah. I mean, when I say we don't have plans, I mean, I don't have plans. I mean, we're going with family and they've kind of got some ideas and they want to go golfing. I've never been golfing. So I'm like, yeah, okay.
Oh, I'll God.
They want me to go golfing. And I'm like, I've never played golf. That seems like a red flag for inviting someone to play golf. Like if you never played golf, like I can't even remember the last time I drove a ball. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. And I mean, like, I've mini putted. I tried a driving range once for sure.
Sure.
I went with my brother because my brother used to play a lot of golf. So I went with my brother to the driving range because that was his birthday 1 year. But I didn't actually hit a ball because the first driving range experience was so terrible. No.
I don't know. Like, maybe they'll just let me mini putt like all their drives. Do you think that's a fair exchange? Like if they just hit it to the ball, I can mini putt.
Yeah,
it in.
You can just do all the putting for everyone.
Quick, everyone set their beer cups down.
Playing field.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, everyone set their beer cups down in a hilarious fashion, and I'll bounce it off them. It's like mini putt. It's, you know, I need obstacles in the way. Yeah, they're gonna go golfing. Some of them want to go horseback riding. I that's not really my jam. I'll watch the horses. They want to go parasailing, which also doesn't quite interest me, but I will totally watch my mother-in-law go parasailing. That sounds like just worth the trip, just for that. but I'm not really planning anything. I'm bringing the iPad and my 3DS. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna relax and play some games. We're gonna talk about a few of them, but I do want to throw it out there to folks, like, okay, is there a 3DS game that I am forgetting? Or a cool iOS game, because it's an 18-hour drive, and we're splitting the ride, so I'll have time to play some games if Caden agrees with the drive. But anyways, yeah, I'll just
I don't know. You guys will have to tweet at him because you're leaving tomorrow or the next day.
Leaving tomorrow evening, so I'm gonna post this episode tonight before we call it. And just tweet at me. I mean, I can always download it and, like, that day. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I've never been out east before, and I'm actually looking forward to the drive as well, because I haven't seen anywhere past Gatineau in Quebec. Mm-hmm. And I hear really good things about the first half of the leg. I hear northern Quebec is a little boring. But I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah, I know. So I just quickly, because I haven't actually had a chance to be on Gamers Inn Prime since DreamHack. So I thought I'd just kind of give you guys a quick rundown of like what actually being at DreamHack was like, because I know, Ryan, I don't know about you, but it was my first ever LAN experience. So I've done cons,
right?
But a LAN is a whole different beast.
And I mean, I've been to quote unquote LANs, but probably nothing on that scale. Like I've had friends, like we've rented out hotel conference rooms and had a bunch of friends bring their computers and we'd LAN them all together and, you know, rent switches from Best Buy. But like, we've never done anything quite on the scale of DreamHack. And I mean, that's exciting. I actually, it's funny enough, you know, we say we haven't talked about it in depth, even on the Hangout. I haven't really talked about it. We mostly just talked about Overwatch and whatnot, but I am curious because I think DreamHack would be a really cool event, and I want to hear more about like its first year in Montreal, whether there's chances that they'll have it again. Like, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. So the thing was, they had the StarCraft part of the World Championship Series. The Invitational was actually at DreamHack, so that was kind of like the big main esports event. That was the big main stage. Artosis was there, which was super cool. So they had the big main StarCraft stage was where like all the big crazy stuff was going on. And so as far as I know, that was all organized by like the Blizzard team. Like it was an official WCS event. Everything else, I think, was organized by local teams, basically like using the DreamHack name, because the whole idea was to see if a kind of DreamHack Canada would be viable in Montreal. So, because this was the first ever, so DreamHack is a European thing. Their first ever North America event was Austin earlier in May, and then their first ever Canadian event was DreamHack Montreal. So they are kind of talking about maybe doing DreamHack Vancouver, maybe DreamHack Toronto, but hoping to do DreamHack again in Montreal next year. I don't know if I would go because my DreamHack experience was definitely not what I was expecting, because they didn't have like the super polished, doing it really good DreamHack dream team.
Doing it really good. DreamHack TM.
they had a local Montreal team who at least, and this is pretty much strictly from a Hearthstone standpoint, because that's the tournament that I played in. It was ridiculously poorly organized. It was the worst tournament that I've ever been a part of. They had something like 5% of the players not show up for check-in, and they started the tournament. Then they realized that those 5% of players actually included two or three pro players, and so they then said, well, round one doesn't count. Oh.
That's really that really upsets me, you know, when people... I mean, if you're a pro, you should be a pro at arriving to tournaments. Like, that's
exactly what I said.
Your job, right?
Literally your job.
Yeah.
And the thing was, it was a Swiss tournament, too, which means that, like, there's no real, like, elimination round, per se. It's just, like, the people with the best record at the end go forward into the top, you know, 8 or 16 or whatever it happens to be. So, basically, they made us replay round one, but the problem was a lot of people played all the way through round one because we were in Discord like we were supposed to be, but once the admin said, yeah, go ahead, play your games, people were busy playing their games. So it literally took an hour to tell everyone that their games didn't count. Meanwhile, people had wins and losses and had seen decks and all the rest of it. And then they reshuffled the bracket, redid everything, and then just basically said that whole round doesn't count. We're starting the tournament at 10:30, where it had started at 9, and we had to be there at 8 to check in. So, over 100 players got up, got there on time, and everything was good to go. And then there was, I think, somewhere between 5 and 10 people that didn't show up, and they restarted the whole tournament for it. I was like, are you kidding me?
Did, like, the 95% not lodge a complaint that would have... Or was it just like...
Well, that's what we were saying. And they were just like, no, we're the admins, so we just make the decision. And the problem was, like, I have been an admin at many a Hearthstone tournament now, And I understand that on the fly, you have to make decisions and they may not necessarily be popular and everything else. But the thing is, if you, first of all, stick to your published rules, because everyone has to agree to the rules before you even sign up for the tournament. So if you just stick to the published rules, then basically, even if you make a decision that pisses somebody off, you can go and say, well, look, here's the rules. You agreed to this. This is what the rule is, and this is the application of the rule, end of story. But when you start making decisions, which happened multiple times throughout the weekend in a whole bunch of different situations, when you make decisions and you're not transparent about it, and you don't say, like, this is the decision we're making and this is why, they were just saying, like, we are totally contradicting our written rules and you're going to comply because we said so. And, like, that's just going to piss people off. Like,
it's just a really... awkward choice.
It's really unprofessional. Yeah. Really unprofessional. So, yeah, it was. And they, like, the whole tournament wasn't even worth the Hearthstone Championship points because they didn't submit the paperwork on time. Like, it was just ridiculously poorly organized. So, yeah. Like, there were a whole bunch of even Canadian pros that decided not to go because they just figured it wasn't worth their time. So
weird.
when you can't even attract like good solid players to an event that, like, a DreamHack name, like DreamHack Austin was huge. Like, no one even knows who freaking won DreamHack Montreal because, like, we didn't even have a stage. Like, there was no stream, there was no stage. Like, it wasn't until I think the top eight they finally got a stream up. And then when they got the stream up, there wasn't actually a stage where anyone could watch. It was literally just streamed out to Twitch. Even though there were four esports stages, Hearthstone didn't even make the cut because our admins were so bad at organizing stuff.
But there was a stage for other games, right? Like, because I watched a bit of it. And
Matt,
there was,
Matt played Rocket League. His team actually came third, which was really great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Matt played Rocket League up on the big stage. There was CSGO. There was Overwatch. There was Smash Brothers Melee, I think.
Probably.
I'm trying to think of what else.
Maybe StarCraft? StarCraft.
Yeah. StarCraft had its own stage. It was kind of its own thing. So there was, like, the big StarCraft stage, and then there were three other, like, rotating stages of different content, and Hearthstone was never on any of those stages.
I feel like, okay, like, obviously that's the negativity, and you went to Montreal, you know, half vacation, half, I'd say probably work. Like half work, but three quarters, like, you wanted to do the tournament, you wanted to participate, you were, you know, mentally preparing for it. And I feel like you,
took time off streaming to kind of get into a tournament kind of headspace, because it was something I'd never done before. It was a really big thing for me to go there and think, like, okay, I'm going to be playing potentially on a stream. This is DreamHack. Like, there's a lot of, you know, stakes here. It's my first ever tournament. And it was just a big investment for not a very good playoff.
But did you enjoy the rest of DreamHack? Like, the other portions of it?
I did. So, the one thing that I thought is that they probably should have had, like, sections. Because basically the land, first of all, the land was huge. There were so many people with computers.
Did you bring your own computer, or did you just sit at a computer?
No, you have to bring your own.
So you brought your big beast?
For the privilege of, no, I took a laptop.
Oh, okay.
Matt took his big, gigantic computer.
Of course he did, because it's Matt, and I don't think I've ever seen him with a computer
he can carry. He's reminding me that he actually put it into a smaller case. He took his computer apart and put it in a smaller case because the big case, like, doesn't fit in his car.
Wait, he took his computer apart? And bought
a new case that would still fit, but was much, much smaller. And it's literally like the new case could fit inside the old case.
So did he then take it apart from the smaller case and put it back into the bigger case?
No, I think it's still in the small case. but yeah, so, I mean, like, the actual LAN part, there was a lot of people that were participating. It was really, really cool. I just felt really disconnected because where we were sitting, there were some Overwatch people behind me. There was, like, Matt and his Rocket League team beside me. There was another Rocket League team across from us, but there was no one around me playing Hearthstone. And so, like, I didn't really feel like I had anybody to talk to. Like, everyone was really in their own kind of space, and Hearthstone is a single player game anyway, so it's hard to create that kind of sense of community that you should have at a LAN.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, Matt had all kinds of people coming up to him and saying, like, oh, you're playing Rocket League and blah blah blah, and, oh, I'm Ping Pong Pete and blah, and that was cool. And then I'm just like, where the hell are all the Hearthstone people? And then because we didn't ever have like a stage event, like by the time they, so when they actually did show it on something, it was a little screen at the side with like probably 10 chairs in front of it and no audio. So we couldn't even hear the commentators. And it was like at the end of the third day. So it was kind of from like 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. on the third day, which was right at the end, and almost everyone had left anyway. So
where's Blizzard in all of this? Like, why isn't Blizzard like stepping up to the plate and having some Canadian tournaments?
Not even necessarily Blizzard, but just like DreamHack in general. I feel like they shouldn't have necessarily farmed out their name. But then again, like I say, I had a terrible experience in Hearthstone. Matt had a totally fine experience in Rocket League because, you know, his tournament was run by a lot of the people that did the RLCS thing. Right. Like, there were a lot of people that were brought in by different kind of, I guess, organizations, including Twitch, to make sure that the tournaments ran smoothly. And then, for whatever reason, the Hearthstone admins were just totally terrible. So, we just ended up with a really bad admin team, which I find crazy because everyone kept referencing this other LAN tournament that they'd run over and over again and repeatedly screwed up, but it was like a Montreal specific tournament and they're like, oh, this is worse than, I can't even remember the name of the tournament that they were saying. And I was like, what are you talking about? And by the end of the weekend, you kind of like got all the facts about the fact that this admin team had just totally failed at running tournaments over and over and over again. So you're just kind of like, who gave them the reins to DreamHack? Like, who said, yes, you should be in charge of this $6,000? Go, because then it was just like every decision that they made just seemed like it was getting closer and closer and closer to favoritism. At one point in the finals, they were streaming, and the admin actually wrote to the girl who was playing, and you could see because they were streaming his computer. So it showed their chat history up on the stream, and the admin said to the girl, okay, full bracket reset. And she was like, what? Because she still had to win one more game to reset the bracket. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, when you win this next one, then full bracket reset. And I'm just like, no, like, you should not be saying that. You are administering a tournament. Like, you do not, like, oh, my God, like, such favoritism. So it was ridiculous. Totally ridiculous.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And yeah, so just, like, so many decisions made without being completely transparent about what they were doing, what the problems were, what was going on. So it was a really, really frustrating experience. But I did go 3-3 in the Hearthstone tournament. So I won one, then I lost one, then I won one, then I lost one, then I won one, and then I lost one, and then I said, I'm out. So it was a good experience, though, because when I actually lost my third game, so basically in a Swiss, everyone is paired up against somebody with the same record. So basically in the first round, it's random because everyone has a 0-0 record. But then in the second round, all the 1-0s play each other and all the 0-1s play each other. And so eventually it sorts itself out. And usually if you have a 6-2 record, in an 8-round tournament, you'll go through to the next day. So when I lost that third game, I was kind of like, okay, well, there's no way I can go on to the next game. So I'm not going to play the last two rounds. But yeah, like it was a good experience. The player that knocked me out was actually Muzzy, who is very well known. He's a fantastic player. He beat me in like 7 minutes. Like, he was really, really fast. But it was really cool to see that caliber of player. Nice. And I made some not so great deck choices because I just totally misread what I thought was going to happen in the tournament meta. The new cards had released the day before our decks were due, and I thought that it was going to be a much more aggressive meta than it was, and so I should have just stuck to my more control-y decks as opposed to my, like, oh my god, they're gonna eat my face decks. So I made some poor deck choices, and I think that was the problem, as opposed to my play. I don't think I actually made too many straight-up misplays, so I felt really good about my performance, and good. Like I said, I stuck it out till round six. I went 3-3, which at a DreamHack is not terrible. There was a very healthy amount of pro players. I think I ended up finishing out of 130. I think I was somewhere in and around 40 or 45. So
good
in the top half of the people in the tournament. So I was decently happy with how I finished. So
awesome. No, that's really good. And as a first experience, it at least sets you up for the next tournament that comes across in the neck of the woods where you're, or even outside of that. Like, do you feel like now you're more likely to go to a DreamHack or a tournament that's more established and you know is going to be like a good visit, like say DreamHack, wherever the next American one is?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I absolutely want to continue competing in tournaments. I think there's a lot of stuff going on online. There's a lot of stuff that's happening, you know, even in Toronto, there's a lot of fireside gatherings and stuff. So tournaments, yeah, for sure. I will keep doing. I enjoyed tournament play more than I enjoyed ladder play because the decks that you were playing against were a little bit more predictable, I guess. So it felt like you had more strategy as opposed to playing on ladder where it's just like YOLO whatever deck I want to try because I have no idea what I'm going to get up against. Like it felt a little bit more strategic. And so there was like an added level to Hearthstone performance. And I really enjoyed it.
Good. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed, you know, portions of it, or the majority of it, I should say. It sounded
I didn't mean to go on such a Hearthstone admins were terrible rant, but yeah, it was bad.
It needed to be said. I feel like I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard a whole lot about DreamHack outside of I mean, I don't follow a lot of people who play Hearthstone. I mainly follow them through you, right? So knowing what's going on there is kind of like, okay, red flag. Maybe DreamHack Montreal gets their shit together next year. Or
yeah, and like know. I said, I think if DreamHack's in Montreal again, I might go, but strictly as a like viewer.
Yeah.
I would not play in a tournament run by those same people again. I might actually just write DreamHack. They actually sent me a survey to ask how my experience was. Ooh. So I haven't filled it out yet, but I intend to.
Just link the first half hour of this show and then you write a scathing review of listen to the damn episode.
But yeah, I just want to like write them and be like, look, you need new admins. I will run your tournament by myself and I will do a better job.
Like, there you go. That's not bad. Like, I mean, but that bars you from competing, which I mean.
Yeah, but that's kind of fine because realistically, like, I guess by the time DreamHack Montreal rolls around next year, I might be at that competitive level if I really committed myself now. But realistically, especially if Angry Chicken and Hearthstone was the only thing that I did, then absolutely I would be a more competitive player. But where, you know, we do Gamers In, I have loves in video games outside of Hearthstone and commitments to actually play things and do things that aren't just Hearthstone, I just don't think I'll ever be able to dedicate the amount of time that a lot of the pro players like. I mean, so for instance, Hotform plays for approximately 10 hours, 5 to 6 days a week of Hearthstone.
10 hours a day?
Yeah. And
oh my god, that sounds terrible.
So he came second at last year's BlizzCon, and he's not even going to make it to BlizzCon this year because there's just that many super good competitive, really, it's a very, very, very competitive game. So if that's the kind of effort that you put in and you don't even make it to the World Championship, even though you came second last year, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just...
I mean, I understand, obviously, that doing something professionally requires a lot of work and a lot of dedication, and obviously doing something competitive that gets you to the World Championships is also takes a lot of time, effort, and dedication. But like, I mean, I can barely focus on one game for one week on this show, and when I do,
can't imagine putting in 50 to 60 hours a week on the same game.
No, I mean,
2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Okay, like maybe the closest thing to like that for me would have been in university when I was playing Mass Effect. I remember clearly, like the day it happened. We had the Xbox 360 in Peterborough, and I'd drive to Peterborough every weekend just to play Mass Effect all weekend. That's probably the closest thing I've ever had to going
pro. But did you do that because you knew that there was an end in sight? Like, did you put in that kind of effort because you just wanted to get to the end of the game? You wanted to see all the content? You wanted to play it? Like, if there was no end in sight, would you have put that kind of effort into Mass Effect? Assuming there was some sort of payoff, like some sort of championship, you could be the best at Mass Effect. Assuming that was a thing.
I mean,
like,
let's be honest. I am the best at romancing Liara. I kind of became a pro at that.
You got that down?
World championships of romancing Liara. She's super adorable. But no, I mean, no. Like, let's be honest. Like, we've been doing this show for almost 5 years, and it's like... No, I mean, of the list of games listed here, I probably won't go back to half of them because I'll be playing them for 18 hours. Does that count? But no, I don't think so. And I mean,
but again, 18 hours, that's like 2 days of Hearthstone prep. That's like a third of your week.
And you know what? Just like the Olympics, I don't want to do that with swimming. I enjoy swimming. I'll go swimming for like a half hour, you know, and I'm good. But I don't want to do it nonstop.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I appreciate people who do that, and I love watching people who have done that, and especially for games that I'm terrible at. So Hearthstone's one of those games that ranks pretty high when there's like there's some matches going on, or even when you're streaming, like I'll watch it because I'm like, these people have cards I don't have, they have skills I don't have, and they have like the knowledge of cards and plays that I probably will never have. because I don't play it enough, and yeah. You know, I mean, if I played more than just the adventures in Hearthstone, maybe I would know a little more. But yeah, no, I think that's fantastic, and I can't wait for the new documentary on the History Channel about people who play video games 10 hours a day.
But yeah, so that was my DreamHack Montreal experience. It was interesting, and I think as much as I enjoy competing and will continue to compete, I don't ever expect to really compete on that level. But I do enjoy organizing tournaments, and I like the community aspect. So I might take that knowledge and move forward in that direction from now on.
Is the thing that's happening this weekend, is that secret in relation to what we just talked about?
No, not really. It's just
okay. Well, then you should talk about it.
So basically, I just put together a Hearthstone tournament with a very small $20 BattleNet gift card prize for whoever wins, and a $20 BattleNet gift card for whoever knocks me out for my patrons.
Is it on a big check? Seriously, get a big check cut.
But it's for my patrons and my stream subs. So if you're subbed to Joss Plays, or if you're supporting me over on patreon.com/JossPlays, then you have the link and the password to that tournament. And that's because we hit a stream goal here on twitch.tv/JossPlays. So thank you everyone for supporting me. That is coming up on this weekend, this Sunday. You can sign up right until the tournament starts. It's got a little bit of a later start because of trying to be nice to those you who live in the Pacific time zone. So we're not starting till 3 o'clock on Sunday, so it should be fun. It's basically just an excuse for you guys to kind of hang out. I'll be in voice chat on Discord for the duration of the tournament, so you guys can come and chill and hang out. And there won't be a stream or anything. It's literally just like a really chill hangout tournament.
Some Discord hangout time. That sounds fun.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's the idea. So, yeah, if you want to come and talk and hang out, then, that'll be 3 o'clock on Sunday. So
awesome.
And if you want to kick my ass in Hearthstone, then that's the place to do it.
And get paid, evidently.
Yeah, exactly. that is happening this weekend, so that's going to be really fun. You have been playing a little bit of Hearthstone, right? You've been jumping into this adventure.
Yeah, I jumped into the adventure, and, I mean, after our chat on the Patreon hangout last week, you guys had mentioned how easy it was, and I was like, oh man, I always find they're just a little tough for me, because I never have a deck that's filled with current cards. And no, you guys are right, it's pretty easy. I built a shaman deck from the deck builder with 2/3 of the cards available, and I still won. But you know, I appreciate the mechanics of the adventures. I would like to see them do less silly characters that you fight and more mechanics. Like the chess fight was really good, but there was nothing really in the second wing that really jumped out to me. Mm-hmm. Actually the first wing was very strong, as well as the prologue. I mean, the first wing had the cutlery fight, which was really cool.
Oh my god, that was so fun too. Yeah. And see, that's the thing, the cutlery fight was a very entertaining boss because it was so like Disney Beauty and the Beast like inspired, and so that is like my favorite. Belle is my favorite Disney princess. Beauty and the Beast is like my favorite movie. I loved the silverware golem. That fight was so great.
And I can't even remember like the bosses, and the only one that's jumping into my head is because you mentioned Beauty and the Beast, which is Julio and Romulo or whatever.
Which was actually kind of a cool mechanic.
It was a cool mechanic, and I just want to I want to flag the fact that yes, it is easy, and if it's easy for me and my half-built, half-assed decks, then it's probably easy for folks that are actually playing ladder and stuff.
Did it take you more than one try to beat them?
On a couple, it took me a couple. But for the majority, it was one try. Which once I got that shaman deck, it was filled with more cards. Because once the tentacle expansion came out, I didn't buy any packs. But I did get some.
He's talking packs. About old gods. If any of you are actually,
it's the tentacle fans expansion.
Of Hearthstone. Yeah, that's the tentacle expansion.
So, anyways, no, I build a shaman deck and just have sort of been. Now, that's not to say I'm not enjoying my time in Hearthstone. I do live for these adventures, but and I love the hero challenges, like, or the class challenges, because they build a deck for you, and it's like, these cards I don't even own. This is great. But no, I'm enjoying. I haven't played Wing 3 yet. Does it improve or?
Garrett and I actually lost on stream a couple times today. But I don't necessarily think that it's hard. Mm-hmm. I think that it's. I don't even know what I'd like. It's still easy, but they have said that they want all the normal mode stuff to be accessible. They want people to just go in, get the cards, get out. It's the heroic mode that's supposed to be the challenging mechanics, because essentially the mechanics become twice as hard. So like, instead of summoning one plate, the Silverware Golem summons two. So it's like, twice as hard. But
are the heroic modes just like super hard? Like for me, where I'm finding the normal mode easy, which I'm sure for folks who just want to jump in, get the cards and jump out, like I'm still looking for that experience. Right. And I don't think. I've never touched heroic because I always assume like, well, my half-assed deck is not going to be able to take these guys on.
Well, basically for heroic, what you need to do is you need to look at the boss, look at the hero power and say like, okay, this is the problem that I need to solve. Either he has, you know, a ridiculous number of spells or he creates a ridiculous number of minions or, you know, like he is going to one-shot me if this condition is met. So you take that problem and then you look at the cards that you have and you say like, okay, well, the problem to that, like here's the problem and the solution is X, and you build a deck around being that solution. So it's like, it's just like one big giant puzzle. Mm-hmm. And then, so if you can figure out the solution, and then also when you get into the game, if you can draw well and kind of play out your strategy. So it's still going to take you a few tries because the boss mechanics are ridiculously powerful and heroic. But it's definitely doable. It's very much like a problem solving thing. Okay. So yeah, you just have to figure out what it is that the boss is doing and then solve it.
So you're saying I have to try?
Yes, you should try.
Damn it.
And I say that as someone who doesn't normally really do the heroic parts of the dungeons, the adventures at all. I usually am the go in, get the cards, get back on ladder kind of person. But as someone where you are just playing adventures and that's the part of Hearthstone that you enjoy, I think you absolutely should go and try and do the heroics and see what you think.
Yeah. All right. I'll give it a shot. And do the heroics work like you unlock the whole wing to try heroics, or do you have to still progress?
So I think once you've completed the wing on normal, it unlocks the wing on heroic. And all of the bosses are available at once. But I can't remember if it's like once you defeat the boss on normal, it becomes available on heroic, because I've only ever gone in after I've completed everything on normal. So okay. I'm not 100% sure what the unlocking mechanic is, but they are all available at once. Like, you don't have to go through and do like the first boss and then the second, like you can jump around.
So I should at least go and play the chess one.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
I will do that.
I've heard people say that it is really, really difficult to win the chess one. Like, you have to be very strategic and you have to get a good draw. But it's doable and it's fun. I have heard people say it takes anywhere from 15 to 20 attempts. So,
well, I was just kind of upset that I was like, this chess thing is so cool, but I still like kind of brute forced it and won, right? I wasn't doing good by any means. I think I played it twice, and on the second time, once I had kind of gathered what I was doing, I did win, and I was like, oh cool, I kind of want to do that again. So now that I know I don't have to like sludge through the other bosses, I could just jump straight into heroic chess. That sounds like something I'm gonna do.
And I do think that the Karazhan heroics are easier than Blackrock heroics and Naxx and like the earlier stuff. I haven't done League of Explorer heroics at all. Mm-hmm. But I did yesterday. I went back in just to kind of mess around because we had been talking about, obviously, on Angry Chicken, we'd been talking about Hearthstone and the release and just the difficulty level in general. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to go back. I did heroic Naxx all the way through, but I had only done, I think, the first two wings of Blackrock. So I'm like, I'm going to go into Blackrock and just take one of my meta decks, and the boss just destroyed me. And then I went in and did a wing or a boss in Karazhan, and I beat it in one try. And I was like, okay, yeah, they're easier now.
Okay, well, maybe so. All right, well, I will give it a shot.
But yeah, I think you should try. And in general, the heroic ones, you are going to have a very specific deck. Like the normal mode, you can pretty much go in and beat it with a meta deck. But the heroic ones, you should still probably say, like this, for instance, the Silver War Golem. He makes things that have one health, so have a lot of like whirlwind effects or, you know, AoE, just things to get rid of all of those plates.
Sure. All right. Well, I will check it out for sure. That sounds good.
But yeah, so we've got one more week of One Night in Karazhan, and I'm kind of sad that it's ending, because I will say I did enjoy the flavor of this adventure a lot more than I thought I was going to. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit disappointed that they went with League of Explorers, which was a totally new property, and then all of a sudden they went back to Warcraft properties. Like I had hoped that they would do just completely their own thing, but it had enough Hearthstone flavor that I still really enjoyed it, and they did a great job with all the stars and the sparkles and the pinks and purples, so I was happy with everything. But yeah, so overall, I just I'm sad that the adventure's ending. Yeah. I think I wouldn't have this feeling of like, aw, if it came out all at once. So I think that they've done a good job with Karazhan.
Well, knowing that we're not gonna get another one for
it's gonna be a whole year.
Is it a year? Is that how they do it?
Well, because they've changed their release schedule. So it's now every year we get an expansion, an adventure, an expansion. And then the next year we get an expansion, an adventure, and an expansion. So we're always going to have an adventure in the summer, but that's it.
Oh, really? They're only doing one adventure and two expansions?
Per year.
That's a bummer. I mean, I understand where they're coming from. But I mean,
But they're also doing Tavern Brawls, which I will say, the adventures are now feeling a whole lot like Tavern Brawls to me. So, like, each different boss in the adventure feels like a different Tavern Brawl.
I do need to give Tavern Brawls more of a fair shake, because I haven't played a Tavern Brawl in months. So, I mean, I enjoy Hearthstone. It's just I need to get back into it. And usually the adventures, the expansions are what does it. And I think, like, the expansions always come out, and it's like, this might be the expansion where I, like, pre-purchase all these cards. And I'm kind of thinking, like, maybe the next one is the time I do it. I mean, I'm not big on the tentacles, so I didn't really want, like, my deck to have a bunch of, like, you know, weird stuff coming out of it. Yeah, squirmy, you know? So maybe the next one will be just, like, non-squirmy. I don't know. Is there any hints at what the next, like, expansion will be? Obviously, we'll see it at BlizzCon, but...
Yeah, we don't know. Okay. I would guess /hope/want Titans. I think Titans would be really cool. We could have a whole bunch of different celestial kind of things, and Titans would go really well with Old Gods. So I feel like that could be a really cool tie-in to the Year of the Kraken, but we'll see. I don't really know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, I am looking forward
to it. Because obviously, like, Karazhan has absolutely nothing really to do with the Old Gods. So it's not like they're, at least in terms of adventures and expansions, they're not tying those together at all. So there's nothing saying that because we had Old Gods, we should get Titans. But I think Titans would be really neat.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So speaking of Old Gods and Titans and all of that Warcrafty stuff... Mm-hmm. We have Legion that is coming out next Tuesday. So 5 days from now, we've got the new Warcraft expansion is dropping. So, Ryan, have you been doing a lot of stuff in Warcraft, like in terms of invasions and stuff?
I have my 3 100s now. I have my Warlock.
Nice.
I have my Priest, which I boosted, and I have to 100. And then I have my Demon Hunter, which I think I'm gonna mainline my Demon Hunter. She's really cool.
Mainline?
Mainline? Is that not what they call it? What do they call it? What are they?
It's just your main.
I don't know.
Mainline? Isn't that like a... Never mind.
I don't know what it is. Wouldn't it just be like a train or something? I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Anyways, I have my 90 boost. I played around with a hunter panda, which is really neat. You get a turtle, so that's fun. Yep. If you boost to 90, do they give you like a super turtle?
No, there's no super turtle.
Well, what do they give you? Do they give you like a cat or something? Or do you get to choose your pet? Because I would assume they give you like a boosted pet as well.
Actually, I don't know because I main a hunter, so I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I don't know what they do when you boost them because I've never had to boost one.
Yeah. A lot of folks in Discord were, because I kind of reached out to the Discord, the gamers in Discord, and said, okay, what should I play? Because, I mean, I have my priest, I have my warlock, I have my demon hunter, and there was one comment that came through. It was like, sounds like you got ranged covered, try melee, which is funny because the first character I started was a hunter to kind of test it out, but I don't know, I'm kind of...
But you can have a melee hunter.
That is true. That was something that someone said, and I was kind of thinking maybe like a paladin or a rogue. I haven't played rogue in a very long time. I would say like last time I played rogue was just pre-BC, like 9, 10 years ago.
That's a really long time ago.
Kind of crazy to think about. Yeah, I was Alliance. It was a dark time. But I was a Night Elf, which was an even darker time. Yeah, I was in a rough place. I shouldn't joke about that. But I might check out a rogue. It's been a while, and I do like... I almost said stabbing dudes, but like I do like the dual wielding knives and stuff. It's a lot of fun. But now people in the chat room are saying I should get a turtle. Turtles rock. So yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. So if you are a hunter and you have a pet, then whatever your pet is when you boost, that pet just scales. And then if you ever like whatever other pets you summon, like they are 100 as well.
It would be a super turtle, is what you're saying.
Well, it doesn't change in appearance at all.
Then what's the point? Like, shouldn't it, like, change into, like, that weird-looking turtle from Ninja Turtles 2?
It's not Pokemon. They don't evolve. They just level up and become stronger, but they don't actually change.
Super turtle. Like, I might have to put the work in and just go get a super turtle. Like, there's got to be one. Like,
oh yeah, there's all kinds of super cool models and stuff. There's actually in Firelands, there's a really cool like molten turtle that's all the turtle's kind of like all black and stuff, and then his shell is like black spikes, and then it's all like lava in between the spikes. It looks really cool.
So hot.
Yeah. So it's so hot.
There it is. Yeah, I will. I'm still undecided, but the other thing too is that I'm leaving tomorrow and Legion launches on the 30th, which is halfway through my vacation, and I don't have a laptop to play it. Like, usually I would like drag my laptop. I have my Mac, but I'm pretty sure the MacBook is too old because it's it'd be 4 years old at this point, so I doubt Legion would even run on it. I don't even think I could play Myst
Overwatch
on it.
You can't play Overwatch on it anyway because
on them Mac users.
Which I discovered a DreamHack because I was like, I needed something to play in between Hearthstone matches. And I was like, I'll just download Overwatch and play that. Overwatch is not available on Macs. I understand now.
I should look it up and maybe, like, I'm not opposed to bringing my laptop and maybe, because I've been getting into Heroes.
Your wife might be.
Well, the thing is, like, we were sort of in the living room just today. And I've been so busy with work and just other stuff that I was like, I just realized, like, I have to box up my consoles so they're out of the living room because we're getting some stuff done while we're gone, and I don't want people to like paint over my PS4, like, so you know, this thing needs racing stripes. Let me just give it a nice little red flag. So I have to box it all up and just move it into the office, and I'm like, you know what? If I'm boxing it up anyways, I could totally just bring it and hook it up at the cottage. And then I was thinking, no, then I got to deal with like, oh, can I use the TV now? I was going to play video games. Like, Brian, you're on vacation. You don't get to play video games. I'm going to watch Big Brother.
That's not what vacation's for.
Yeah. That's not what time off is for, relaxing. I'm going to watch Big Brother now or whatever shit is on TV.
Oh, my God.
TV's the worst, guys. Don't watch Big Brother. It's terrible. It's just a bunch of douchebags running around yelling at each other. I'm serious. Have you ever watched Big Brother?
I think I watched like 10 minutes of an episode and I was just like, what is even what?
I know some people like to watch it as a guilty pleasure, and I'm not saying the people who watch it are terrible. I'm just saying the people on the show are terrible. I know people who watch it and I respect those folks.
One of them's Ashley, isn't it?
No. Well, actually, it's Ashley's sister, and she got her into it, and I don't know. I walk through the room, and there's, like, the weird hipster beard guy yelling at a weird shirtless dude, and they're like, bro, cool bro dude, we need to, like, alliance.
We need to bro down.
We need to bro down. We need to form the bro alliance, and we need to come at this, and then we need to stay up in the air as long as possible, because that's the challenge this week. The challenge is literally we're all going to be on this super huge mobile thing, and then when we fall off, literal internet trolls come out and hit us with paddles. It's going to be great. I'm serious. That was a challenge. The challenge was to stay on a string as the mobile was going back and forth, and they'd hit these like weird, like padded things. And then when they fell off, the literal internet trolls would come out, which were basically people in like weird looking ghillie suits. And they'd come out with these like paddles and they'd smack them.
Anyway. This took a weird turn. So back to Legion.
Yeah. What's there are no internet trolls for Legion because Blizzard did it. They made a great game. Man.
I will say I have really enjoyed everything that they've done so far. So right now, all of the invasions have ramped up. So there's actually 6 invasions happening every 2 hours instead of previously there were 3. And before that, there was, I think you could only participate in 1. So they're ramping things up. Invasions are ridiculous for getting XP. Someone in the guild chat today said that they started a new character and were at level 73 just from invasions today. Mm-hmm. So... it's pretty ridiculous, and obviously that includes like heirlooms and bonuses like that to experience gain, but it's just crazy right now. So if you're leveling alts like I am, I already had my hunter. I leveled my druid, priest, monk, and I feel like there's another one. I'm working on a mage now, but I feel like there's another level 100. Oh, I guess the demon hunter is level 100, but that's basically cheating.
Well, it's not cheating. It's just...
It starts at like 98. And
I'm
you get
counting
to 100
it.
By the time you finish your starting area, so it's kind of cheating.
I would count it because I'm a... that counts as one of mine. you...
But yeah, so I have a mage, and actually I was saying, because I find the mage so freaking boring. Mm-hmm. It is just, I'm playing Frost, and it's really, really boring, and so I was also talking to chat, trying to get recommendations, and Rogue was one of them, because I have really enjoyed Paladin! Paladin's right. The other one. Loving my Holy Paladin, and just healing the invasions is so much fun.
I played a couple and they're pretty crazy, but I enjoy them. They're a lot of fun. They're just sort of just like you're surrounded by people, you're hanging out, you're just killing stuff, and it's kind of what I miss about WoW. Like it's been a while since I played, and every time I get to do an invasion, I'm kind of stoked to do that, and I'm kind of sad that I'm going to miss it cuz I I'm not going to have time to play between now and Legion's launch, but I don't know. I'm excited that people are excited that this pre-launch expansion has sort of continued to keep people interested in WoW more than Draenor did. And it's like...
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of crazy to think that this pre-expansion event it's probably the most pre-expansion event that's kind of like kept people interested this long. Like, they're even added... Did they continue the quest that they added last week where Khadgar took you to Karazhan and stuff?
Yeah, so he takes you to Karazhan, and so there's, I can't remember the order of things that you do them, but you go to Karazhan, you do some stuff in Dalaran, and... Mm-hmm.
You talk to Diamond Man at Alduar.
Yes, you go to Alduar, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So
good old Diamond Man.
But, so when you do the whole Alduar thing and talk to Magni... Then that was, I think, the second week. So the first week was Karazhan. The second week was going to Dalaran and Jaina getting really, really pissy at you. And actually, I don't know what the Alliance side of those quests is, because obviously I play Horde exclusively. So I haven't seen the Alliance side in terms of just the questing. I saw the cinematic because I went and looked it up. But I haven't seen the actual... Alliance side of all of this pre-Legion questing. So, but yeah, Jaina is a bitch.
Oof. Yeah. I mean,
she's brutal. Like,
she's pretty angry.
Yeah. She's, I think, I don't know, some sort of like gonna be the next big bad, I think.
I mean, either that or they will redeem her. I find it really like frustrating.
I don't know, man. I think she's just going the same way as Arthas. I think that she thinks that she's doing what's best for her people, and I think she's going to go down that very slippery slope, and I think we're going to somehow defeat the Legion, and then next expansion is going to be, like, versus Jaina and her Kirin Tor or something.
That's really lame. I don't know. I love Blizzard's story, but I hate the... This character was really good, but then something happened, so we're going to spend three expansions just having her angst, his or her angst, just slowly increase.
Building up, yeah.
And they already did that with Garrosh, right? Like, he was just a dude in BC out in the Outlands, and then all of a sudden he continued to just angst it up. Like, he was getting sick of Pretty Little Liars or something.
I kind of like the Garrosh storyline only because when you compare it to the Vol'jin storyline, he was really cool in the overthrowing of Garrosh, so the very end of Pandaria, so kind of like 5.3 and onwards. And then he didn't really get to shine in Warlords at all. He just kind of wasn't there anymore. So I enjoyed all of that storyline, and I thought it was kind of cool that they spread it out over a few different expansions so that you actually got the sense that you knew what was going on and you knew these characters and everything else. The Vol'jin story, it's just so sad.
Yeah, he
didn't get a chance to be an actual war chief. So
he didn't go back in time.
As excited as I am about the current state of the Horde and as amazing as I think it is, yeah, I don't know. I am upset that he didn't really get a fair shake.
Yeah.
He or his race, really, because I find the trolls in general are a kind of background. They're, even though they had like the Zandalari and the troll heritage was somewhat there in Pandaria, they really shared the spotlight with like the Mogu and the Mantid, and it just wasn't like, they're always just kind of there, but they're never like in the forefront with, I mean, the undead and Sylvanas, like they had the Lich King, and you know, that whole expansion was about the Scourge and the kind of undead story. And then, you know, all of a sudden, just the trolls that could have been so cool, they're just always overshadowed by something else. And so I wish that we'd seen more of that while Vol'jin was war chief, but he got to be war chief in a really shitty expansion, so.
And it wasn't even in like Azeroth. It was
exactly.
He didn't even like go back in time, like put some cool shades on, like, come on, man, we got to go 88 miles per hour. And he he didn't even do that. He just kind of sat there and like, all right, I'll be here, kind of just waiting, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe don't let Gadan come back, you know. Okay. I asked you to do one thing and you failed. Gul'dan is now back. All right. But I don't know. I'm enjoying Legion. Are the quests pre-expansion for Legion going away when Legion launches? Yes.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, I better get some packing done because I think I'm going to have to go do those quests before. At least finish off the quest with...
Oh, yeah. You have to do it at least once because basically the quest line explains a little bit about what it is we're going to be doing in Legion. It explains why Dalaran is going to be moving from Northrend and that whole deal. It explains why the Horde is allowed back in Dalaran again because Jaina basically said, GTFO, you're not welcome here, so... inviting the Horde back into the Kirin Tor is a really big deal. So you get to see all of those kind of plot points play out. And then I'm trying to think if there's a cinematic. I don't think there's a cinematic.
No.
At the end. But yeah, it really sets up like why we're doing a lot of stuff. And actually, you have played through the Broken Shore part, right?
You mean the scenario?
Yes, the scenario.
Yeah, I did the scenario, and I did the first part of the quest.
Have you only done the scenario once?
No, I did it twice, I think.
Okay, because I found on, I guess it was my second time through, I don't know if it was because they retuned stuff, but I found I really understood a lot more stuff.
Okay.
The second time through. So I caught a lot more of the audio, and maybe my group was smaller, but it wasn't just so much of a ball of death with no one paying attention to anything. Like, it really, so they told you this stuff and then they let you go kill things. So this is why I think they might have retuned it a little bit. And so it explains, like, the portals and the pillars and all the stuff that you're doing in the invasions is actually explained, like, killing all the, or destroying all the structures and all the rest of it. That's all explained in the Broken Shore stuff, but I totally missed it the first time through. Okay. So, yeah, I think if you have another character that hits 100 before Legion launches, it might be a good idea to do it not on, like, launch day, which is basically when I did the scenario the first time through, is as soon as it was available. So, yeah. Going back and playing through again, I had a lot of, like, oh, moments.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I mean, I have some time, so I'll be sure to get back in there. But I'm looking forward to Legion, and I'm looking forward to the fact that when I actually do get to play, the servers will be stable.
Yes,
which
exactly.
Is basically, like, 4 or 5 days after it launches, which, yeah. You know, will be good.
So. I don't know. They might be okay. I haven't had any server problems, and people have been doing invasions. People have been doing the scenarios. Lots of people are coming back now because it's a great time to level mm-hmm. your alts. So I think that I've seen more people in more places in Warcraft than I have in a very, very long time. So, I mean, I'm constantly seeing. Well, I posted a picture on Twitter, actually, of Khadgar surrounded by probably about 100 people when I went to do the quest, I guess, on Tuesday. So Tombstone chat room is asking, when is launch? Launch is August 30th, which is next Tuesday. And actually, the Amove crew is putting together a leveling kind of stream episode show thing. So Kristen, who is Kyle's wife, myself, Kyle, Garrett, and Dills are actually going to be going through and doing 5-mans on alts and stuff like that. So nice. Keep your eyes on twitch.tv/amovetv for all of that.
Nice. And that's after Legion launches?
Yeah, that's when Legion launches, yeah. Awesome. So I think the first episode we're actually going to do, I think, is going to be on the 12th because we're doing it from, I think, starting at noon Pacific. So
the 12th of September?
The 12th of September, yeah, mm-hmm. because the 5th of September, which is when we were originally hoping to launch the show, is actually Labor Day. So it'll be the week after.
Oh, man.
And then, yeah. So yeah, once a week we'll be going through and we'll be doing dungeon content and stuff like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you guys want to tune into that, that's going to be Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to play for a couple hours. I don't know exactly how long the stream is going to be, but... yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So come and check it out. So I think you have a couple of iOS titles just before we wrap it up, but also an Overwatch story. So I'm just going to totally hand it over to you, and you can talk about whatever you want in whatever order you want, because we've already hit an hour.
Yeah, I'm just going to say we'll touch base on the iOS games when I return, because I feel like I've really just scratched the surface on them. But I will recommend Reigns on iOS for $3.99. It's a really interesting game that uses the mechanic of swiping very well, and it's one of those, like, games of choice that you can continue to play over and over again. It's basically like you're a king that, when passing away, returns, and you start your sort of quest to remain king as long as possible again, and it basically shows up as character cards, and these cards pop up and they say, like, hey king, like, we need to know if you want to build a church, and you're like, all right, yeah, sure, let's build a church. And it affects, like, your money goes down but your religion goes up, and as the choices continue, you kind of have to balance all your four checks. It's basically religion,
money.
Yeah, money, and then there's war,
army,
yeah. Yeah, and there's one more, people, and basically, yeah, people's kind of key when you're ruling, you know, you need to rule over people, and then...
So is it like happiness, or is it like total population?
Population, so like, for example, if for some reason it says, the barbarians are invading, what do? Do you send the army out, or do you just shut the gates, or do you try to, you know, bribe them, and then you can kind of like, okay, let's bribe them, so your money goes down, your people go down, but your army stays up and your religion stays the same, because religion don't give no shits. But it's just really interesting, and it's kind of punishing in the sense that you're thinking, okay, I'm gonna make a choice here that seems right, and it's like, nah, they killed you're dead.
Yeah, that was wrong.
Yeah, there that was a wrong coup. And you kind of learn which choices you want to make, and you go through, try to live as long as possible, and then, like, little things will pop up based on how long you've been playing. Like, new characters will show up, which adds more cards to the deck. And, yeah, just a really cool little iOS game, perfectly fine to play on your phone, and will just, you'll easily kill like 10, 15 minutes at a time as you try to like get through that that rain. And it's super unique. Never played anything like it. Super worth checking out. But no, Overwatch. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Summer Games loot boxes and wanting... Yeah,
and how ridiculous that was.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't like to talk about stuff when I haven't tried it, usually. And I might go back to talking about things that I know nothing about, because I actually went out and bought loot crates for Overwatch for the Summer Games, because I was like, man, I've been playing like crazy, and I really, really, really want to play... I want to get my Tracer skin, you know, my Tracer sprint skin, one of them, especially the German one with, or German, the British flag and whatnot. And so I bought 20 loot boxes and I was like, oh, I got the sprinting one. And I'm like, all right, I'll go another 20 because I haven't paid for, you know, loot boxes. I haven't played for loot boxes once and I figured I might as well support the game. So I bought another 20.
You already did support the game by spending $50 to buy it in the first place.
Yep, and I got the Origins edition. My justification is off.
Yeah.
So I bought another 20 and I'm like, I'm starting to see this. All right, I'll buy $5 worth and be done. And then I got nothing in it. And I was like, okay, this is stupid. So our theory that they should change it so when you buy a loot or you have a Summer Games loot box, not just one item should be guaranteed to be Summer Games. Very unlikely that when I opened a loot box, I would get more than one Summer Games thing. Mm-hmm. And I was really frustrated.
I would get one Summer Games item, and mm-hmm. it would be a spray or a player icon. I didn't get any skins. I didn't get anything. And you can't go and buy them. And now it's over. So.
Yep, and it's over. And those skins and sprays and whatnot continue to exist in your collection. And Tombstone X is saying, wondering if he actually used that skin yet. Yes, I have. I have used all the skins. I got the cool Zarya Russian skin, and also just the generic weightlifting skin. And I got some cool like emotes and stuff for characters. And I did get some cool stuff. But I mean, I hate gambling. I fucking hate gambling. And this is gambling. It's literally gambling. It's like, okay, if I put $20 in here and I open a bunch of loot boxes, I might get what I want. Mm-hmm. That's literally gambling. And I know, you know, everyone's saying like, well, Ryan, duh, like why you should have known that.
Duh.
Like, come on. Like literally the way they describe it, they tell you outright. It's like one of every four items in the loot box is guaranteed to be a Summer Games icon or a Summer Games item. And there's no guarantee it'll be a skin. And it'll be a legendary skin, because that's what the Tracer running skins were. Both of them. And, I mean, I'm not surprised that what I experienced is exactly what I thought I would experience. But I'm also kind of like, I think I'm done paying for loot boxes for Overwatch. I mean, unless they change it in, like I said, in a way that when you put money into the system... you are rewarded for supporting the game, not just like, and I know they're all cosmetic and they're, you know, good friend Jimmy says, you know, don't worry about cosmetic items. They literally do nothing. You literally can't even see what you're doing unless you stop mid-match and emote, which, you know, not many chances to do that without looking like an idiot. unless you like kill like the entire team and get to like do a little jig. But I don't know. I don't know how to feel going on. I have started to enjoy Overwatch a little more as I solo queue some more and get back into the game. But I mean, I'm fine with the fact that I put money into it. It's not like I'm raging trying to like get my money back. I'm cool with it.
You knew what was going to happen going in. It's just disappointing that you know
that we were
what
right. You thought, basically.
Yeah, exactly that we were right. Yeah, I still think that they just. It's a gigantic money grab, and it makes me kind of angry considering that it's not a free-to-play game. So I think that they should have given players a little bit of a better deal.
Buy the skin.
The short end of the stick. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just make it available for currency. Exactly.
Like, Heroes of the Storm lets you buy skins, and I'm fine with the fact that you have to buy skins with real money. I'm totally cool with that. Do it in Overwatch. Like, if you're going to offer these skins that are collectible items... And I know I just spent $45 to get not what I wanted. Whereas if they said $10 for the legendary Tracer skin, Blizzard loses out on $35. You know, so when you actually look at the math,
at the same time, I gave them no dollars. And if I was able to go in and buy the skins, I would have given them money for the skins that I wanted. Heroes has made a lot of money on me.
Yeah. And there's a lot of skins.
I can go in and buy. Yeah, I can go in and say, I specifically want the Diablo skin that makes me look like a kaiju because that is so cool.
Yeah.
They got my money for that.
And it's tough, right? So when a majority of the content that they're going to be adding to Overwatch on a steady basis is cosmetic, you know, this is the first map we're getting. We've already got one hero, but they've done multiple updates, which is skins, tags, and sprays. And it's like, when a half the content they're adding to the game is this optional cosmetic stuff that is continuing to water down your chances of getting what you want. Like, I wanted the D.Va Junker skin. I just ended up buying it with the 3,000 gold that I got from all those duplicate items. Which, again, duplicate items are stupid. But, so I had to pay with gold. And it's like, because the more content they add to these regular loot boxes, the less chance I'm going to get it randomly. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, it's not necessarily like a fix your shit type scenario, but it's like, it's still really frustrating. And I'm bummed that, I mean, I probably would have been a little more positive if I had at least gotten more of what I was looking for. Like, I didn't get the McCree America skin. Mm. I didn't get the Tracer Sprint British skin. I didn't get the Lucio soccer ball skin, which, you know, kind of like the heart of the Summer Games package that they offered us. So, I don't know. I hope they learn from this, but they probably won't because they made a bunch of money.
You're not exactly teaching them a great lesson by paying $45 for loot boxes.
I'm not. But maybe I did. Maybe you did. And I'm wondering, though, if...
What the numbers actually look like.
Not everybody has a podcast who feels the need to do, you know, research for this stuff. Yeah. But, I mean, I did maybe do, like, $25 more of research than I needed to. But, you know, I'm thorough, and I wanted that Tracer skin. But I'm curious to see, like, of our listeners, did you buy some Summer Games loot boxes? It'd just be really interesting to know if people bought into that. Because, I mean, I was playing Overwatch maybe once per day to see if I could get some more loot boxes just naturally. And, I mean, I couldn't level up more than once a day with, you know, because I'd play for about an hour and a half and level up. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear from other people.
Yeah. So on that note, that's a good time to remind everybody where you can find us. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at TheGamersIn. You can also let us know if you bought Overwatch loot boxes by emailing us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Also wanted to remind everybody that if you like the show, you can support us over at patreon.com/TheGamersIn. Wanted to say thank you to each and every one of our patrons. We get to do a super fun monthly hangout with you guys that happens on the third Thursday of every month. So make sure that you are tuning in to twitch.tv/JossPlays for every one of those patron hangouts, because they are a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much going to do it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.